Chapter 78. After several hours of writing out different codes for each other that would relate to dates, times, locations, and even names, LP declared to the room that he needed a break. "Folks, my engine is flooded. I need to head home and crash for a while." The rest of the group stretched and yawned as he let himself out. It was late in the evening. On the streetcar ride back to his apartment, he had frequent glimpses of the diversity of life that exists in downtown Toronto, an endless mosaic of people from around the world, but also the clubbers, the homeless people, shoppers, anxious about the homeless people, security guards, cyclists dodging cars like water buffalo, narrowly escaping crocodiles, exhausted people returning home from late restaurant shifts. As the streetcar trundled long Queen West, the gentrification kept pace as he approached the Humber River, where the big box retailers and vast, empty parking lots took over. As he rode along in silence, too nervous to fire up his cell phone and listen to a playlist, he started thinking about what Sylvie Hunter could possibly be up to and what it would all mean from a bigger perspective. As he described to his friends, he had come to realize that Sylvie might have been at this for some time. He wanted to confirm his suspicions. When he got to his apartment, he started to thumb through a few of the CDs that he still held on to. The compact disc format had been introduced as far back as the early 1980s, but he and Sylvie would have been about 10 years old when that happened. He had enough inventory, however, covering a wide enough time frame, that he was able to find a few random glitches in songs and performances from the late 2000s. It was easy to find the glitch now that he knew what he was looking for, but he reminded himself that some of the songs might not have any audible blips because of higher or lower frequencies that he wouldn't be able to hear. As he narrowed his search, he decided that the glitches had probably started around 2005, but his collection was light on new releases from that period, largely because of changes that had been happening in his life at the time. It took him a few moments to truly understand the implications of this seemingly minor discovery. Somehow, Sylvie Hunter, or someone she was working with, had organized a system of some sort much sooner than he wanted to believe. The code was real in the early 2000s, and it seemed Sylvie had devised a way to make the glitches appear on commercial, widely distributed media for nearly 20 years. 20 years, he thought to himself. This realization led him to several larger questions, ones that kept him up the rest of the night. First, if the glitch had been present for 20 years, did that mean Sylvie had had a way to communicate with non-humans for that period? Second, and maybe more importantly, could she have been doing this in collaboration with Gaia the whole time?